Hey Liverpool fans, have you seen the latest release? At Anfield Index, we've teamed up with Liverpool FC to announce that the brand new 24-25 LFC Nike home kit and anthem jacket are out now, and they're hotter than ever. The brand new kit pays homage to the legendary Rome 1984 side, featuring sleek pinstripe detailing that brings a touch of history to our modern game. Whether you're cheering from the cop or watching from home, you'll feel the spirit of the Reds coursing through every stitch. The best part? You can grab yours today. The new kit and training range are available in official stores, online, and through the LFC store app. Don't wait, order now and be ready to show your Liverpool pride and style. Get your hands on the new 24-25 LFC home kit and anthem jacket today. Let's make this season unforgettable. You'll never walk alone.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Thanks for choosing this free Anfield Index podcast. If you'd prefer to listen to this or any of our other shows without adverts, then now's the time to check out Anfield Index Pro. With AI Pro, you can supercharge your entire listening experience. You'll not only get all of our podcasts without the ads, but you'll have them far faster with our quick publish feature available exclusively for subscribers. AI Pro also puts you in the heart of our sound studio, with an option to listen to many of our shows live and interact with the podcasters in real time as the shows are recording. Upgrading couldn't be easier. AI Pro is available on all popular podcast platforms, and we have our own apps for Apple and Android. Just head on over to AnfieldIndexPro.com and get started today.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are, whatever you're doing. And welcome to another episode of Media Matters for Anfield Index. Four goals, ladies and gentlemen. Four goals from open play, a sunny day, a victory, and a sing-song for Jurgen Klopp. So here to discuss that, many other things off the pitch, including kits, contracts, all sorts of things, is, as usual, the renowned and respected David Lynch. Now, David, before I go into this, I know I normally ask, how are you, but by the way, this is going to strike some people as surprising when I ask this. Just how good was the weather at Anfield yesterday, by the way?
Yeah, it was genuinely amazing. I mean, I even took my big coat thinking I was going to cool down later on, but it was absolutely glorious. And I know it sounds pathetic to be so obsessed with this, but kind of you spend basically, you know, the season's 9 months long and you spend basically 8.5 months of it absolutely freezing your nuts off. Whereas, yeah, like those, the couple of games at the start of the season and a couple of games at the end of the season where it's glorious sunshine, you should absolutely relish those. It was, it's just a pleasure to be in the stadium.
It was, because I've seen those videos where you look like in those winter months where you're hanging on for life with those clubs and that Parker. So, as well, yeah, you've got to enjoy these games. And I suppose, before we get into the Spurs game, what did you kind of make of the overall atmosphere? Because in a way, it was, I kind of think it's like surreal. It was a dead rubber essentially as a game for us. We knew where it was going to finish. The sun was out, the Jurgen songs, there was like the pressure. It was just almost a bit surreal. What did you make of the whole atmosphere and the whole setting to it?
Yeah, I mean, the sun helps, but I think very much end of season party kind of vibes, really. And I think everyone, because of what's happened in recent weeks and you know, falling out of the title race, I mean, I know they're mathematically still in it, but I think everyone accepted pretty early doors that it was over. And I think, you know, it's kind of, it's been almost a, you know, quite easy to take the positives from it in that it's released the pressure. Everyone's saying, okay, well, we can quickly refocus now, and it's all about, this is Jurgen Klopp's last two games at Anfield. So let's enjoy it. Let's make sure he's sent off in the right way. And I think it's not just the fans. I think the players have bought into that aspect as well. And the players got a week off as well. And it was just a freshness had been injected back into the crowd, back into the players. And I think that fed off each other. And I thought it was just a really sort of pleasant atmosphere and good. And everyone seemed to enjoy themselves. Obviously, the performance helps. But yeah, it just felt like a really positive day, and that everyone is not focusing on the title race that Liverpool fell out of. I think the disappointment of that has really subsided quite quickly, really, because I think everyone kind of didn't expect maybe a title charge this season anyway. And I think everyone, like I say, is just focused on the fact that it's the end of an unbelievably successful era, and they want the manager sent off in the right way. And yesterday was obviously a really, really good start in terms of that.
Yeah, no two ways about it at all. I mean, it's a strange way. There were some brilliant bits and then some not so brilliant bits. I mean, what did you make of the performance overall and the way we kind of, it was a big difference between halves as well, almost, and periods of the match?
Yeah, I thought, to be honest, I thought 70 minutes of absolute brilliance, really. That was my sort of take on it. Obviously, toward the end got a little bit ropey, but I thought Liverpool as good as they have been for a long, long time in that first 70 minutes. And I mean, it really for a long time as well, you know, not just up to the point where they started losing games or dropping points recently. I thought the performance levels hadn't been fantastic in the build up to that run coming of results, really. So, you know, they were doing well to get over the line and win games. But I think this was as convincing as they've looked since sort of the turn of the year, maybe. And I just thought they were so, in that 70 minutes, so dominant. You know, Spurs couldn't get out. They controlled their threat completely. I thought they controlled the center of the pitch for that period entirely, basically. Looked like they were going to score every time they went forward. Tottenham didn't really create an awful lot of chances until that last flurry in the sort of final 20 minutes. So I thought a really, really good performance. And I thought, for me, people get annoyed when I mention fatigue, and because I speak about it a lot, and obviously they want to say that no, Liverpool have bottled it, or that, you know, don't make excuses or whatever. But I just keep coming back to it as the theme of this season, or the theme of this run that's happened recently, because, you know, Liverpool get a week off for the first time in a million years, and then they come out and put a performance like that in the first 70 minutes. And I think that just showed, against a very good Tottenham team, by the way. All right, they might not get Champions League this season, but they're in and around that. They're the fifth best team at worst. And they showed in that last 20 minutes how dangerous they can be. And I just think Liverpool get a rest in the build-up to the game and then suddenly look like their old selves again. I think that really underlines to me the fact that that drop-off that happened was just the season catching up with them, the fact they'd had all those injuries. They had players who were coming back from injury who weren't sharp. They had players who were knackered because they played too much football. You know, you give them a week off, let them get back in that rhythm, and they're absolutely, they remind you that they're a fantastic football team. So, you know, that really underlined it a little bit further to me, really, that has been the kind of theme of the season. And I think it bodes well, really, that they can have this hopefully strong finish now and finish off these last two games with wins on the basis of, you know, they've got those rests. They've got another sort of 8 days till the next game as well. So that's handy. And hopefully we see, you know, a couple of really good performances off the back of this one, because I thought, you know, like I say, for 70 minutes, I thought it was good. I thought they maybe lost a bit of rhythm at the end with the subs, sort of bringing on by Cesic. I thought that disrupted things in midfield. Yeah. As good as he is, I think he's not on it at the moment for obvious reasons. But I thought, yeah, for 70 minutes, a really, really good performance, and Liverpool looking sort of back to the best, which is really good to see after that dip they've been on.
Yeah, whatever anyone says about the season, like you say, the fatigue, we shouldn't forget just how good some of the football was yesterday. I mean, there's a few contenders from this. I'm intrigued. Man of the match for you, who are you nudging for?
Yeah, I went with Harvey Elliott in my ratings, and when I sort of did my YouTube video after the match, I thought he was sensational, really, from minute one. A bit of a surprise pick for me, really, because I think, you know, I always think that Jurgen Klopp seems to like Szoboszlai because of what he gives you physically over Harvey Elliott. That's Elliott's main drawback, is he's not quite as quick as Szoboszlai, not quite as tall, not as good in the air, which is obviously when you're defending set pieces, I think it's always in Klopp's mind. But I thought, you know, Harvey Elliott, I really like him when he's in that central position. I talk about it a lot, in that when he's on the right, he doesn't have an option on his outside, so he always has to come in. He can't pass the ball outside, where he's central and he can go either way. It just creates that little bit of doubt in the defender's mind. So he can always cut inside, or he can use his really good passing range and his vision. So really, I much prefer him in that central position to wide. And I thought you know, he got that opportunity yesterday to show what he's about and absolutely grasped it for me. I mean, you know, a goal and an assist, a brilliant goal, brilliant assist. I think he has five shots, creates four chances, or maybe flip those two around, but really, really involved in so much good. And I just thought he was really, really good. And, you know, for him, it's kind of not a bad time to really come to the fore. If you know, surely he can't be dropped for these next two if he keeps playing like this. Yeah. So if he finishes the season with three starts and a strong finish in terms of his performances, you know, bouncing into a new era under a new manager who might kind of like his profile as well, I think that'd be really, really good for him. And I just thought, he was magnificent yesterday. And I think this has been coming for a while because I think we all know how unbelievably talented he is. But the fact if he can put a little run together going into next season, maybe he can be a nailed-on starter from the start of the season. And, you know, we can see even more from him. And that's, you know, he's another one. And there's a few of them knocking about the squad, the young, talented players. But, you know, really, really excited to see what he can do going forward. And yesterday was like a, you know, another step forward for him, really.
I agree. It felt like a step forward because it was Harvey Elliott starting and having the impact rather than coming off the bench, maybe when there's tired legs, the game's opened up, that type of thing. I mean, I can't see how he's been dropped. So it wouldn't surprise me at the same time with the way things work at Liverpool. But I was going to ask you, because you talked about him on the right and how he looks better central. If I suspect when Arne Slot comes in, it's this 4-2-3-1 formation that he applies, do you think Harvey Elliott's a real contender for that number 10 role? That key role in the middle there?
He has to be. I mean, you know, him and Szoboszlai both look naturals for that, don't they? They both look like they would really fit it. But I think, you know, Szoboszlai enjoyed a bit of a drop-off in the back half of this season. I mean, we've got to give him sort of credit as well in terms of, you know, he had that injury, it disrupted him. It's his first season around the Premier League. He himself is quite a young player, really, so some adapting still to do. And I'm absolutely certain he's got all the tools to be absolutely brilliant because he showed it in the first half of the season when he was sensational. So, you know, not writing him off at all. But I think it's going to be an interesting competition between those two if Elliott keeps this up, which I think he will. They're both, and to have options like that is only ever going to be good for the manager, isn't it? I mean, it's going to be interesting if he does go 4-2-3-1, by the way, in terms of Liverpool are very 8-heavy. If they're going to go 4-2-3-1. And I do wonder whether Slot does sometimes go with a kind of more 4-3-3 and 2-8s. And I think with the profiles and the squad, maybe he's going to have to switch to that because it is his sort of number one formation, because you've got a lot more sort of players suited to those 2-8s rather than players suited to playing in a double pivot, really. So, you know, I'm really interested to see what happens there. So maybe it's not going to be a case of Elliott or Szoboszlai or Granberg battling it out, but maybe he's actually going to be able to keep two of them in there. So, yeah, interested to see what the new manager thinks about that. But I mean, yeah, Harvey Elliott's not done himself any harm at all with that performance. And if he, as I say, can keep it up between now and the end of the season, bounce into next season, he could absolutely be a nailed-on starter for this team because he's definitely good enough.
Yeah, we definitely want to see him against Villa in 8 days, no doubts about that. And another player that's kind of putting a case forward, and it seems to be, and I understand this, a lot of focus when he's on the left recently. I mean, new dad, Cody Gakpo, but he's getting goals, assists, he's making stuff happen, and he played well yesterday, didn't he?
Yeah, I'm absolutely just an unapologetic Gakpo fan. Like, I really don't understand how he's sort of rated by some. I know he's not everybody's favourite, but I think he's just shown in that game yesterday. And his form actually towards the back end of the season is he seems to have shaken off that little confidence bump he got at the start of the season about being messed around, played everywhere. I think Jurgen Klopp's, you know, just give him a bit of a run in that position that feels natural to him. And he's thinking about things a bit less and just playing his natural game. And I thought yesterday you saw the absolute benefits of that and also how good he is as a player. And I just think... You know, he offers so much. He's safe in possession, but he's creative with it. He can cross. He can interlink with other players. He's got a great shot on him when he gets a yard. He's not too slow either, and he's strong. He's a big lad as well when he puts himself about. And I think, in fact, that is what the thing I absolutely love the most about his performance really was the header he scores. He's very much a number nine, getting up a lot. You know, there was someone up alongside him. That's not easy, but he was powerful. And he gets his head on it, a great finish. So, you know, that's one thing I'd criticise him for more than anything, really. Sometimes lacking a little bit of aggression. Yeah. But the way he finished that header yesterday and just his all-round performance, he showed a lot of aggression. So great to see that. And again, you know, I think he's He's got a decent goals and assists tally this season. And I think if he'd have been played consistently in one position or, you know, flitted around just a little bit less, I think that would have been even better. Still another one who is still quite young, still some development to go as well. A Dutch manager coming in, I'm sure, will absolutely help him. So, you know, again, I think there's a lot more to come from Gakpo. And again, he's another one similar to Elliot. Surely he's got to be in the team against Villa. And then we see what happens there. So, I'm really, really pleased with how he's come on in this back half of the season. And I think a player who there's a lot more to come from. And I think we saw that when he first joined, really, that half season when he was there. And it kind of, you know, dipped a bit in this season partially. But I just think when he puts it all together and he's being played consistently and he's confident, he's a brilliant player in there. So sort of interested to see what Slot thinks, where he thinks he should be, how he should play him. But I think he's going to play a lot of games and get a lot of goals for Liverpool.
Yeah. I mean, even as people see him as the fifth choice, I mean, 16 goals, 5 assists, that's still a really good return. I mean, position-wise, because he has been almost a utility man and probably, as you said, maybe to his detriment a lot of the time. When you look at Gakpo, do you think the left side of attack, that's where he's best?
I still like him in that central position. I'm not against that at all. And I mean, to be fair, I know he was nominally on the left-hand side yesterday, but he's drifting in and out, isn't he? I feel like him and Diaz kind of switched quite a lot and they were swapping and he can take the ball in those central areas. And I do like him as a sort of Firmino type when he first came into the club. That was the role he played, and he played it really well. So I'm absolutely comfortable with him there. What I don't want to see maybe is him in midfield. I don't think it's natural to him at all. Defensively, he's not right for that role. And I think the right wing, he can do it. But again, it's not natural to him. It probably takes more out of his game than it gives to him. So I think that left or the central role, I think that and definitely switching between those two really, really suits him. So that, yeah, I think I would prefer to see that going forward. And I think he would prefer that as well, in that it is more natural to him. He doesn't have to think about it too much. But again, you know, it's going to be up to Arne Slot, isn't it? What he sees, you know, does he want him in that central centre forward role? We'll have to see. That's an interesting one for him to solve.
Yeah, it will be interesting to see formation aside, how he deploys him at the same time as well. And one player that gave a reminder to some that he's maybe not as finished as some headlines have suggested, Mo Salah with another goal, standard things.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's crazy, isn't it, the criticism he was getting. I mean, no doubt he had a little dip and sort of deserved to maybe not be starting games, and that was probably the right decision. But I think, you know, the idea that he was completely falling off the cliff and this is him, he's finished now, I would never buy into that. You know, I think it's interesting with his contract situation in terms of what happens next. I think obviously Liverpool, they say they expect him to stay, but it's not quite as straightforward as that. And I think the new contract talk is, I'm very sceptical about that, whether Michael Edwards and co will give another £350,000 a week deal to a player who has had that little dip, is in that age bracket where, you know, sometimes that they can go off that cliff. It's just a risky time to start giving out insanely lucrative contracts. And would Salah accept a year rather than one in a 2 year deal? It's a really difficult one. But I think, you know, I think as a starting point for this entire discussion is that Mohamed Salah absolutely should be at the club next season and should be, you know, if nothing else, you should be putting yourself in a position where he sees out his contract at Liverpool on that final year. And because I just think he's absolutely a guarantee of goals even next year, even if it's not quite at the level of getting 44 goals in a season, he's going to be a constant goal threat next season and absolutely important to keep him around. And a reminder yesterday that he's probably not quite as quick as he used to be, but he's still, his movement, his intelligence, his finishing ability is all still there. And that's enough to get you, you know, he's still near the top of the Premier League goal scorer charts. He's setting up a lot of goals as well. He's still one of the best players in the Premier League. So yeah, at the absolute minimum, you at least have to keep him around for one more year.
I don't need a VPN. I've got nothing to hide. This is what I used to tell myself before I hooked up with LibertyShield.com. Not only is my home internet now fully encrypted, but I can now access all the websites I want, whenever I want, and do so from absolutely anywhere. As a Liverpool fan, I love to know I can now watch every match, regardless of whether it's on UK TV or not. My Liberty Shield VPN makes sure nothing is blocked and guarantees me super fast streaming speed throughout that match. You can get connected right now with their software package, which includes a 48-hour no-obligation free trial and instant access to their apps for Apple, Android, Fire TV, PC, Mac, and Android TV. Or go a step further like I have and get one of their pre-configured VPN routers. These small but powerful devices allow you to easily connect every device in your home to VPN, making it the perfect solution for smart TVs, Mac boxes, and games consoles. Visit libertyshield.com today and use coupon code AIVPN25 to get 25% off at checkout.
Yeah, it is insane. There's so many stats were going around yesterday. I mean, one thing that struck me, and I think Phil Foden, this isn't doing him down anyway, he's been sensational this season, but Mo Salah's got more goals and more assists in the Premier League than Phil Foden, which maybe tells its own story as well. So, yeah, a lot to like there. And then maybe one of the biggest surprises, Andy Robbo, consecutive back-to-back games. I didn't think we'd be saying that, to be honest.
Yeah, he played really, really well as well, didn't he? I really sort of liked it. It was almost an old school sort of Andy Robertson performance. I thought he brought real energy. I actually think, you know, Liverpool, it's kind of noticeable that Liverpool's energy dropped off a little bit when he went off the pitch, and they concede down. Well, the chance comes from that side as well. Yeah. Gomez switching off and the ball in behind him in that moment that Brennan Johnson gets onto. So. I thought he was really good. Just a constant threat down that left-hand side. Real energy that he brought both on both sides of the ball and constantly pinning Spurs back. Really good exchanges with either Gakpo or Diaz, whoever had drifted to that side. Just worked really, really well and pinned Spurs back. And I think, you know, he's another one, an interesting situation in terms of what happens with him. Obviously, I think people are a little bit too down on Robertson this season for me. I mean, he's had two injuries that have obviously kept him out for a while, and getting back to your top version of yourself after that is quite difficult. But I think, you know, if anything happens around left back next season, he has to be one of the options. I think, that maybe Liverpool do look to do something there. There were, you know, Tsimikas wasn't in the squad yesterday, by the way, which I think is, you know, an interesting choice. So, but I think, you know, you've got to keep Robertson around at least as an option, because he is, you know, when he's not got fitness problems that he's had this year and they haven't really been an issue in the past, then, you know, he's not going to be at his absolute best. But I thought yesterday showed that when he gets in a little rhythm and he gets back into a run of games, then he's absolutely as good as he ever was. And I thought he was brilliant yesterday. And he's a great character as well to have around. So he's an important senior player that Liverpool have to keep hold of. I don't agree with the talk of, you know, getting him sold or anything like that. Absolutely not.
Yeah, players get older, as we know, but yeah, all this talk comes about ripping out the heart of the leadership group seems madness to me. So yeah, let's hope he stays around definitely next season. And probably, I wouldn't really file it under concern, but we're 4-0. I think Jürgen kind of alluded to it a little bit in the press conference, the way he was talking or his interviews. Every sub, the opposite of this season, seemed to make it worse, didn't we? We lost a bit of control as every new player came onto the pitch, basically.
Yeah, to be fair, and he did acknowledge it, you're right. I think he was basically sort of, he was making subs not to sort of see the game out, or he was just getting players on the pitch who he felt needed the minutes and wanted to, you know, getting the likes of Gravenberch on there to get some minutes into. Obviously, Bajcetic is the obvious one in terms of he knows that he's not going to go on the pitch and be unbelievable. He just thinks, like, you know, towards next season, I'm doing the next manager a favour, getting him back in the rhythm of things, because he can be an important player for Liverpool. And I mean, I think Endo completes around 91% of his passes in that holding midfield role. And then he switched to Bajcetic. I think he's around 70 odd. So that created a real problem, because your holding midfielder was giving the ball away quite a lot. So, you know, and he obviously he's not in his absolute best rhythm at the moment. He's coming back from a lengthy layoff. But I think, you know, it was a sub made to sort of acknowledge that, you know, we're just going to get him back involved, and he's missed the entire season. So yeah, not a concern, as you say. It's just one of those where I think the manager was thinking, we're 4-0 up, let's get some players on the pitch who might need to be there. And yeah, it did destabilize Liverpool massively, but, you know, no harm done in the end, and you take a 4-2 win.
None at all. And to be honest, when he first came on, he did that drop of the shoulder, you know, where he opens up and did it. Like, he's back. And then he gave it away with his very next pass, literally, and like really bad. And I was like, maybe we, yeah, shouldn't accelerate too quickly. And it was interesting because
that shift, though, you're right to point that out, because that's a reminder of what he's got and what sort of what he brings when he plays in that position. He is a real natural and sort of really aware of what's around him. And I'm, you know, I think people think that that's his level now after the injury. You know, I think they're going to be pleasantly surprised next season. I think he's got a really big role to play, and so glad he's fit, because I think there's a wonderful player in there, and really excited to see what he can do going forward, because he would have played a lot of football this season, and
yeah, no
has
doubt.
Been a miss in some ways. So yeah, I'm so glad to see him back.
Yeah, hopefully people aren't foolish enough to judge him just on that little cameo. And I suppose one talking point is it's what I'm sure you've seen as well, social media, the whole type of thing. Nunes misses, you know, he didn't look happy. I mean, I was in the main stand like you, and you pretty much did go straight down the tunnel after the game. He didn't look happy at all. There's that miss. Now there's talk of, obviously, I'm sure you've seen it, Instagram dramas, deleting Liverpool content and all that type of thing. I mean, what is your take on the whole situation with that?
I mean, the Instagram thing, probably address that first, because I think it's almost a separate issue in itself. And I've no doubt that's probably got something to do with getting abuse on there and the way social media is. And it's horrible. And I don't want to see that. And it's really, really poor. And, you know, that people think that they have to behave in that way and abuse someone who's, you know, ultimately just trying the best. And, you know, he's a young lad still, by the way, you know, he doesn't want to miss. He doesn't want to make mistakes. So you don't need to go on there and tell him that has happened. He absolutely knows, and he doesn't want it to happen. So I that's almost a separate issue in itself. I think that, you know, that shouldn't be happening. I don't like to see that at all. And I do feel for Nunes around that. But I would say, completely separate to that, they're not really linked to, is that, you know, the debate around him that's kind of never ending is there for a reason, isn't it? I think, you know, he's just poor when he came on yesterday. You know, 0 out of 3 passes completed, misses a big opportunity, misses a huge opportunity to put Salah in as well. He's just not reliable in the final third. And I know we can point to 31 goal contributions this season, but they come in little clumps. He's not been a consistent threat for Liverpool, which is what, you know, and again, there's more development to come from him. I'm sure he will get better. But the thing is with Liverpool is that they've usually signed players around Darwin Nunes' age when he came to Liverpool, and they've immediately gone on to be world-class. I'm thinking Sadio Mane, Mo Salah. They were ready for the step up. Firmino, the same. They were ready to make that step to a big club and immediately sort of explode. And I think we're 2 seasons into the Darwin Nunes thing now, and I accept, you know, 31 goal contributions on the surface of it. Wow, yeah. That's not too bad. But we can all see the games. We all know it's not good enough, because we know what the world-class level looks like under this manager, and it is Sadio Mane. Yes, yeah, Mane scored in clumps, by the way. That absolutely was a feature of him. Firmino was very, very similar, but when they weren't scoring, their all-round play was so, so good that it kept Liverpool winning. You know, they were contributing much more than Nunes was. And I don't like the way that the debate around him gets shut down, in the sense that, well, look at the numbers there. And absolutely, the numbers are kind of decent, and you know, but they're not good enough, really, are they? In terms of, they're not the world class level. I mean, when Sadio Mane was scoring in clumps, by the way, he was a left forward, and Salah was the main striker, really, you know, in a lot of those periods. So, and Darwin Nunes has to be a big source of goals when he's playing that centre forward role. That is how the whole team is set up, because he's not giving you Firmino level dropping deep and popping the ball off and being able to pick passes in behind. He's just not that sort of player. So when you have him in your team, you need him to score consistently. And when you put him in one-on-one, he cannot miss this many chances. It's just, it isn't enough for that to be accepted. Liverpool, if they want to get back to where they were, he has to be better. And it's just not there at the moment. And yeah, I think he gets tied up too much in his minutes per goal contribution. But I think, you know, sometimes as well with the assists is a very sort of, it's a bit of a flaky stat, really, in terms of sometimes the assist is just a bit of a nothingness. You know what I'm saying? In terms of sometimes you don't really reflect your impact on the game. And I just think, I don't know, I'm still in that thing. We're 2 seasons in with Nunes, and he isn't at the level that Liverpool require him to be. And I just think, you know, is he ever going to get there? I don't know. I mean, the thing is, we're going to have to find out, because I don't think Liverpool can sell him. I don't think they would get anywhere close to the money back. I don't think, you know, there's a suitor out there that would maybe go for him. And I also do think that they'll think maybe his finishing will sort of level out slightly, but it's quite clear, I think, now that he's a below average finisher, and this isn't just variance. I think we're seeing real flaws when he gets put into one-on-one situations that will not level out, and it isn't variance. He's, you know, there's a luck element sometimes, but also he's just subpar in front of goal, and that is always going to be the case now. So I think for Liverpool, the thing they've kind of got to work out now is how they solve that. How did he get consistent goal scorers around him that can sort of, you know, hide some of his? But I think the obvious thing is now that he's not going to be Liverpool's frontline striker in a team that goes and wins the top honours. I think we could probably say that with some degree of confidence now. And if that's the case, then, you know, Liverpool have to find the others, and he has to be move down the pecking order a little bit in terms of the forward. And he could be very, very useful in terms of that, by the way. Yeah. I mean, you know, he can absolutely, if he's fourth or fifth choice, he can 100% be useful. I mean, he can get some goals, he can get assists. So, but whether he's going to be reliable enough to be the number one man in a team that wins everything, I really don't see it at the moment. And I think that's fair to say. I know some people are really passionate in defending him, but I think the die is cast now, and really we kind of see what Nunes is and what he's going to be. And yeah, it's probably not of the level that Liverpool need.
Yeah, it's weird. I mean, you think even yesterday, you think, go round the keeper or just lift it a bit. Like, there's so much to aim there and he doesn't. And like you said, we've talked about that goal contributions. I think back, I mean, he hit that mark when he blocks that keeper clearance against Sheffield United. And I thought then we'd be probably talking about this time, the end of the season, we'd be talking about 40 maybe goal contributions. You fully expect him to get to the 20 golden 20 goal mark and more, didn't you? Which time people put it as a top striker. But every performance, you almost believe in it less and less, I think, at the moment, from what your eyes are telling you. So, yeah. But like you said, they're going to have to work with him. There's probably not going to be a suit or whatever. And maybe, just maybe, the end of the season's coming at the right time for Darwin Nunes. And maybe, and it's harsh to say, it's not a reflection on the manager at all, but maybe a change of voice and a new coach might just benefit him a little bit as well from what's happening at the moment, even.
Yeah, and also maybe Slot will be better at getting him into positions for one-touch tap-ins as well. You know, maybe that, you know, that's, it's interesting how often sort of he seems to be in one-on-ones where it's kind of, you know, he's played in behind, so those running onto those sort of counter-attack goals, whereas, you know, if you can just get him in the width of the 6-yard box and fire balls into it across to his feet, which it doesn't seem to happen that often. If that can happen, maybe that's where you sort of iron out those the madness of his finishing. If Liverpool can play football in that sort of way a little bit more, maybe Slot can get a bit more of a tune out of him. Like I say, I personally don't feel that he's ever going to be the absolute unbelievable elite level that Liverpool had in that front three that won everything, but he can, as I say, still be extremely useful, and maybe he can iron out some of the kinks in his games in his game, and that will make him a very, very useful Liverpool player. But I do think in terms of the forward line, it's going to be interesting to see what they do this summer in terms of, you know, potential departures, preparing for Salah maybe leaving in a year's time or whenever. They've got some things to think about there, and Nunes is part of that puzzle in terms of where does he sit in the pecking order going forward, because I think if you start next season with him as your, he has to be your starting nailed on number nine, then I struggle to see Liverpool challenging for everything, if I'm honest.
Yeah, it will be interesting to see this summer, hopefully not too long to find out in one way. And I mean, the only final thing I wanted to ask about the game yesterday, it sounds really simple because we've been talking about inverted a lot, that's been kind of the buzzword, hasn't it? But does it not seem amazing that Trent Alexander-Arnold played as a fullback, mainly was attacking in the right areas, Mo Salah came inside? It just looked nice, didn't it? It sounds really simple, but didn't that just seem more effective?
Yeah, but it was kind of interesting, really, because I thought that was a bit of a problem that Liverpool had to solve when they had Conor Bradley in the team and he was playing that right fullback role. He was playing it like that, obviously sticking wide, allowing Salah to come inside. A really, really nice exchanges in a two there with a triangle that they'd make with either Szoboszlai or Elliot if he was playing there. And I thought that worked really well. And I thought it was always going to be an issue when Trent came back and he wanted to invert a lot more. I thought it was going to cause an issue. And I think it does look more natural when you do that, when you allow Salah to come inside. He is the one you want inside more than anything. Yeah. Because you want him in that central position, just either just inside the box or at the edge of it. So it does make more sense for Trent to hang out wide a little bit more. And again, that's probably another, you know, interesting problem for Slot to solve in terms of what he does with Trent going forward and how that works. It's a really interesting one, but because as you say, I think it works much better if Trent is primarily, yes, he can do those runs inside from time to time, but I think it's when he picks his moments to invert rather than spending the entire game in central midfield, that just makes more sense to me and seems to work, as you say. And I thought yesterday was a really, really good example of that.
Yeah, he's got a fair bit on his docket, Arnie Slot, when he finally comes in and needs to work out it realistically. And we hopefully won't have too long to find out. And off the pitch, I mean, he's actually seen quite a busy week off the pitch. Some of these are quite straightforward, but just to get your take on them. The AXA, the training ground, they've extended that sponsorship contract, haven't they, till 2029. I know people won't obviously be too interested in all the details on that. I suppose what they'll be looking for is there an increase in money to help towards transfer budgets, or is there any real story, or is it just almost a continuation of what they do now?
Yeah, to be honest, I'm not absolutely 100% across this one, so I'm not entirely sure if there's been a bump in the terms, or but obviously the extension, I think, obviously, they've been around, haven't they, sponsoring Liverpool for a long time now. They're obviously sort of happy with that and pleased with that going forward. And I think it you know, these things are kind of, they're boring from a fan perspective, aren't they? But they're really important for Liverpool in terms of getting the money in and, you know, having a mainline sponsor like that for such a long time, which is kind of similar to what they did with Carlsberg, by the way, in terms of that relationship went on for a long time and still is, actually. So I think it speaks of a club that's being sort of well run on the commercial side. And I think, you know, Liverpool are an attractive brand to be involved with. The fact that, you know, Jürgen's going and AXA still want to stick around and be part of this, that's again shows that it's not just the appeal of him as a manager, it's the appeal of the club and the size of things. And again, as I say, I think it just shows a commercial operation that's doing really, really well at the moment. And that is another one of the things that FSG have absolutely done a great job on with Liverpool, and why they're sort of challenging with Manchester United in terms of on the finances things side of things these days. And I think it's all kind of positive, and all that money, and we can see it in the accounts, basically goes back into signing players or going on wages. So yeah, it's all positive, and it does all end up back on the pitch as well. So that's obviously a good thing.
Hey guys, it's Eddie Gibbs from Anfield Index here. I hope you're enjoying this podcast, and I'm sorry to call time on the show before it ends. In the current climate, it's tougher than ever before to offer podcasts for free. At Anfield Index, we produce over 75 free shows every month, which I'm confident is unparalleled in the LFC sphere. Whilst we'd love to offer everything for free, the production costs now make this impossible. That said, we don't want to follow the model of other channels and lock all of our content behind a paywall. So what we've decided to do is to continue offering every show for free, but cut that offering to 30 minutes on our longer shows. So to get all of our shows in full, and enjoy the best of everything we have to offer, we really hope you'll consider supporting the channel and signing up at AnfieldIndexPro.com. For about the price of one cup of coffee, you'll get every podcast in full with zero ads. You'll also get access to our LFC VIP community, where you can enjoy live podcasts, engage with our podcasters, and chat with other Reds in real time. So that website again, AnfieldIndexPro.com. Join today.
Sports Social Podcast Network.